our friends over at Hillsdale College. Clearly nobody there. The debate last night, if Hillsdale was grading it, I'm curious as to what grade they would give it. Hillsdale College is a truly actual educational institution. If you're unfamiliar with Hillsdale, all the smart people go there. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. Founded in 1844, they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. These are hallmarks of the education. They protect the debate of ideas openly and honestly. And it's not about critical race theory. It's about critical thinking. That's what's important. Now, they have a short video that shows you how their work is effective in defending American liberty, not just on their Michigan and D.C. campuses, but also across the nation. You can watch it at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And while you're there, you can check out all of the things that they offer and learn more about their mission to educate everybody, regardless of any other identity politics people like to apply. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4, that's FORHillsdale.com. Dana4Hillsdale.com, Hillsdale College, developing minds and improving hearts.
Well, the river to the sea, from the river to the sea means there's no Israel. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, which is a tiny area, by the way, that encompasses Israel, there is no Israel. And so what this congresswoman is calling for is policide and genocide, the elimination of the Jewish state, the one and only Jewish state of the Jewish people. So that's absurd, and I salute the Congress for censoring her. But it's beyond that. I think the protests that you're seeing, I'm sure it includes some naive people, but there are a lot of people who know exactly what they're saying. Well,
yeah, he is right. There are a lot of people who know exactly what it is. And there are some people who are like, oh, I guess I'm being an ally. I'm just going to say these things. It sounds like I... Have you heard people who really don't know what's going on try to explain why they say that? It's like one of my favorite anecdotes is talking about how when I remember when I was younger and I would go to a wedding and it would be the Hollaback Girl that they would play. And all that was like the cue for all of the bougie bridesmaids who are half drunk to get on the dance floor. Nobody could spell bananas. And I would just watch most entertained. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as hearing. It's like it's exactly the same thing to hear somebody who doesn't know really what this means. And we talked about it. Like I talked about it with all of you. What was it, last week, earlier this week? The history behind it. Oh, it absolutely means that. Ho. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. We made it to Friday. It is literally freezing in Texas. Okay, not literally. It's 57 degrees, but that's freezing to me. I don't want to hear you northern people laugh at me. I don't want to hear it. I mean, this is like fire weather. Get the long johns out. They call them long johns or thermals. What do they call them? I don't know. Get out. Start wearing your Han Solo gear with your black boots and your thick black fleece leggings and, you know, your jacket and all that stuff. So it's cold in Texas. Friday, we're in a cozy mood. It's good to be with you. Let's get started. You can listen coast to coast on a station terrestrially near you. You can also stream the radio program and watch the simulcast. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So the university thing, because this is what I'm saying. Like, how do you? I can only be led to believe that these people who say these things that they do so fully knowing what it actually means. I cannot believe that in this day and age that anybody could be so stupid as to not know what it means, right? And why are these people given such a benefit of the doubt? That's the other question that I have. I mean, when you go back to however many years ago this was in Charlotte, remember you had the Home Depot bras show up with the torches, and people were roundly condemning and criticizing what these dudes were saying and doing. No one gave them the benefit of the doubt. No one was giving these people benefit of the doubt. But yet with this stuff, oh my gosh, yeah, they're everyone. It's like the press is falling all over itself to try to excuse and justify and all of this. I mean, this is just, it's goofy. And then you had these anti-Semitic slogans. So University of Pennsylvania, this was just last night. They had a petition, a civil rights complaint filed against it because they were described as being a, quote, magnet for anti-Semites. There were tons of photos that had been posted online showing anti-Israel. I mean, I'm not saying just like anti-Israeli government. I mean, like, I hate the Jews kind of anti-Israeli stuff, right? That's the thing. Like, I don't want to be vague about what this is that they're showing. And they were projecting pro-Hamas. They had From the River to the Sea. They had all of those messages up. That was on John M. Huntsman Hall. Remember, the Huntsman family came out and said they're not giving them another dime. They are not giving them another dime because of this, because of their protecting of this anti-Semitism. It's true. Good for them. I mean, their president even recently acknowledged a rise in anti-Semitic acts on campus. They said that they have found throughout campus, and I'm reading what the president at UPenn said, hateful graffiti, apparently like kill the Jews and all this other stuff, or I hate Jewish people, all that, swastikas, different slurs, chants, not just the chants and the River to the Sea stuff, but they said that people that are glorifying the glorification of Hamas, whether it's graffiti or whether it is demonstration, people glorifying Hamas, calling them martyrs, celebrating them, cheering what they did, etc., praising the kidnapping of innocent people, denying Israel's right to exist. I mean, all kinds of stuff. They said that it's become the complaint says that it's become entirely hostile, and that over at Brandeis, their university, they said the anti-Jewish culture was so pervasive. Their Brandeis Center, they said that that's where they were filing the complaint against UPenn. Is also a couple of other, I think there were like four colleges in total, and they're doing that with the Office of the Civil Rights and the Department of Education. Do you honestly, okay, but you're going from the frying pan to the fire with that. You realize that, right? Because this is going through the Office of Civil Rights in the U.S. Department of Education. Who has been overseeing all of this as anti-Semitism on college campuses has exploded?
Well, I'll be. It's the Office of Civil Rights in the U.S. Department of Education. You're correct. That's who did it.
So these are the same people that have been in charge this entire time. So they said that they want to seek immediate and specific action to address increasing discrimination against the harassment of Jewish people, blah, blah, blah. So they also have congressional members that sent letters in. They said that several UPenn staffers also have received targeted anti-Semitic emails threatening violence. Not just against them, but against the entire Jewish community at the university. Going on and on and on. They were investigating it. They said there's all these students. They had a rally or some kind of, I don't know what it was, really a candlelight vigil. I can't even. This is some student who was speaking, said the joyful images, that's what they said, joyful images of butchered Israelis from glorious October 7th. And literally said she felt happy seeing dead Jews. That was like her words. That's insane. What the hell is wrong with you? What is wrong with some of these people? I mean, golly, have you seen what's going on in Montreal? Oh my gosh. So in Montreal, let me just go, because there's a list. Hold up. So in Montreal, they've had some serious issues. They had a suburb there. One suburb there has passed a new bylaw that's going to impose fines on people because they've had fights over people ripping down those posters of kidnapped Israelis, including kids. I mean, they've had there's been a lot of stuff happening here. So they've had this going on. They also had a synagogue that was firebombed. They also had someone who was trying to shoot and kill Jewish people in Montreal. So they have this suburb of Montreal. They're passing this bylaw, $1,000 fine on anyone caught ripping down posters of Israeli hostages. And this was right after they had the two different shootings at Jewish schools in the city. Right after they had the firebombing thing. I mean, this is in Montreal. It's apparently really bad. And they had two institutions. The firebombs, that was in Massachusetts. But this is becoming like more and more. They had a Jewish community center. They had a synagogue. Two different ones of incendiary devices left at two different things in Massachusetts. And then they had nearby building. This was another. It was a Canadian Jewish organization that had been also targeted. I mean, there's like a whole list of stuff here. You almost can't. But yet everybody's talking about Islamophobia. Everybody's been talking about Islamophobia. That's, we are not, I don't have such an increase in incidents regarding Muslims. I do have an entire list, like I could go on and on, of stuff that's just happened in the past 2 weeks against Jewish people. So why is the administration pushing this thing about Islamophobia? I saw this. Let me pull this up too. This is one of the first things that I saw this morning targeting different crimes. It was because they have MIT. They had stuff going on at MIT of all places. They had Jewish and Israeli MIT students that were physically prevented from attending a class by pro-Hamas students at MIT. Which is, that's wild. This is how bad this is. This is not just in Canada. It's not just the stuff that you see in London. This is in the United States. I mean, we saw what happened, University of Wisconsin, Madison. And what did University of Wisconsin do? They called the students liars and they tried to sweep it up under the rug. The students there were terrified because they were like, well, we have to live here. We don't want to be penalized for speaking out about what we saw and what we recorded with our phones and what we experienced and the fear that we actually felt because people were screaming about killing members of our community. And the university decided to try to use me as a scapegoat and said that I, by merely literally posting a screenshot of what a student sent, that it was an over-exaggeration, i.e. they called the Jewish students over-exaggerating. They said they were over-exaggerating their experiences. And they basically, not basically, they called them liars because the University of Madison, Wisconsin are a bunch of pansies. They're pro-Hamas supporting pansies. And they can demonstrate that they disagree with my sentiment by apologizing to the students that they called liars and not tolerating this nonsense anymore. I have to tell you, one of the university presidents that came out recently and spoke is the president of the university that one of my kids attends. And I was very happy to see that. Came out, there were no bones about it, came out and just blasted this stuff. Because this goes, you have to understand the free speech, there's an issue of free speech, but then there's an issue of what's happening here. And specifically what they were talking about at the debate and what other Republicans have been talking about on these college campuses is that you're talking about foreign students who are coming here on visas, going to publicly funded institutions and engaging in harassing other students because of their religious beliefs, not just harassing other students, but issuing threats, screaming genocidal chants. That is, especially when you're a foreign student at a publicly funded university. Yeah. See, you don't get that because that's a, if you're gonna FAFO, be a citizen. That's just all there is to it. And also public funding of these universities, when there is public funding involved, yeah, we get to tell you what you can say. When I am paying for your stuff, you're my bitch. I'm going to tell you what to say. You may not like the way I said it. I'm saying it like that so it really sinks in. When you get my hard-earned dollars through theft from the thugs, absolute welfare thugs at the IRS, I get to tell you what to do. And if I don't like your speech and I don't want you saying it, then I don't want you saying it. I don't want my tax dollars supporting and facilitating this backwoods, Nazi-loving, anti-Semitic nonsense at these college campuses. If they want to say whatever they want to say, then my dollars don't go to you. That's how I look at it. So, yeah, for all these people, I love all these people, especially Republicans that are cosplaying as libertarians, but they don't understand the issue, so they look like morons. They get out there and like, oh, this is an issue of free speech. Not with my tax dollars, it ain't, princess. We got a lot more on the way. That we're just getting started today because we got all the latest with Israel. We got some domestic stuff. Okay, so theorizing about Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin is not running for Senate, so that Senate seat's gone because he wasn't going to... I would challenge the argument that he wasn't going to win re-election. I think that it would have been a lot tougher for him normally. However, what does this mean? Because he's touring the country right now talking about bringing people to the middle. Is he going to do this no label stuff? Is he going to challenge Joe Biden? Because they have just a couple of weeks left in order to do that. They got to make the switch. Like it would be a very LBJ thing to do, but they could make the switch. We're going to talk about that in a lot more here as we get moving. We got headlines on the way, and it's Friday. We also got we got all kinds of good stuff for you, so you don't want to miss any part of the show. All right, so as we move, our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee, it's basically liquid crack. I'm joking. Am I? I don't know. Maybe. I basically can't function unless I have it. I just sort of sit there, and I'm like a sad little robot. And then when I have my coffee, then I'm ready to start my day and get out there and get going. They have really good coffee. All the other stuff out there is just communist swill. Like, I hate Starbucks. Their coffee is just a bunch of over-roasted, overpriced beans. And it just all tastes like garbage. With Black Rifle Coffee, you are getting the best roast possible. This is premium coffee, affordable premium coffee from a veteran-owned, veteran-run company that employs veterans and active duty as well. They're working with the Boot Campaign, still raising $1 million through the Boot Campaign. The Boot Campaign is all about helping the invisible wounds of war for our vets when they come home, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, all kinds of stuff. And when you get the ready-to-drink coffee, that all of that helps to contribute to making their $1 million donation. And you can purchase that online. You can also be part of the coffee club, which I don't know why you wouldn't do, because everybody runs out of coffee. It's like a nightmare to have like two beans left in a bag when you get up to make your coffee in the morning. This is why you need to have the coffee club. You choose your roast or roasts, you know, if you want like frequent, you know, more than one frequency of shipment. And it shows up with free shipping right on your porch. It's awesome. And they also have great mugs, t-shirt designs, hoodies, hats, so much more. So Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community. With your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Fuel Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix with blackriflecoffee.com. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
The economy isn't growing, it's leaching. October jobs report is out, and it's not good. The U.S. added 150,000 jobs. However, a third of them are government jobs. After the Fed has paused interest rate hikes yet again, something has to give. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yes. So on this day, 248 years now? How long is it? 17? It was the Marine's birthday. The Marine's birthday today. The founding of the Marine Corps. So happy birthday to you, Devil Dogs. That's, golly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was like, what, in the 70s? It's just been a while. That is crazy. Time flies. 240, that's awesome. Also, let's see, what else do we have here? Former U.S. Senator Martha McSally was sexually assaulted while out for a run. This is crazy. So she said that she was sexually assaulted on Tuesday morning. She was out jogging. A man came up behind her, engulfed her in a bear hug, and then molested and fondled her until she fought him off. She posted about it on Instagram, said she chased him down. She said, "I was in fight or flight." She goes, "I chose fight." And she said she ran after the assailant, threw a water bottle at him. He ran and hid the bush. She called 911, waited for police. She says, "I don't think they found him and I'm okay." But she says that, man, that is terrifying. She said it happened at Tom Hannafin River's Edge Park in Council Bluffs near Iowa. And it was shared on the police department's page as well. That is absolutely terrifying. Also, scientists have created a Frankenstein chimera monkey that has the fingertips glow green.
What?
Why? Why do you need to do this? Why does this have to be done? Because it's science or something. Is Fauci involved in this? I'm curious. We got a lot still going to come. Stick with us. It's a great film from the studio that brought you The Sound of Freedom and The Chosen. It's After Death. It's an unprecedented deep dive into the phenomena of near-death experiences. Now, it explores the ultimate mystery of what happens after, well, what happens after people die? Like, from the perspective of people who have gone through this and they came back and they have had what they said is an experience with the realm beyond. Now, what makes this different, the film After Death, which is rated PG-13, is that it incorporates first person accounts. They also include a lot of very careful research, scientific knowledge, and philosophy. So it paints a very, very fascinating perspective of what life could be like in the next realm. Now, After Death is in theaters now. To find a theater near you and purchase tickets online, you can visit angel.com/Dana. So leave your preconceptions at the door. Prepare for a never-before-seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death in theaters now. Get your tickets today or pay it forward. Visit angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning. Rated PG-13.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The idea that we get a break for 4 hours, a break so that we can have food. I saw someone spoke about it and they said, "Thank you for giving us raisins, for a few hours. And then do we go back to bombing? No. 4 hours. We don't want 4 hours. We don't want 16 hours. We don't want 22. We want a ceasefire now.
You know, you had a ceasefire on October 6th. And guess what? They fired. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch us as you're, if you're watching us now, the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347, DirecTV, as well as YouTube and Facebook. That's Cori Bush at a rally yesterday after we got off, after our radio program concluded. Cori Bush was out there. She's talking about that, I don't even know what you want to call it, like a series of pauses that the IDF is going to undertake. They're 4 hour pauses. I mentioned this yesterday in case you missed it. They're 4 hour pauses. And 3 hours prior to each pause, they're going to warn the area that we're rolling in heavy. Get out. So you have in total 7 hours that Hamas can get, you know, do some shady activities, right? I don't know in any other theater where that has ever been acceptable, where the people, and I want to be very, very clear. This is what war is. War, I'm going to say it again, war is hell. When you get to this point, all these people who like Cori Bush, like miss me with your pretend care, broad, miss me. All this pretend compassion for these people, where the hell was this in the days and weeks leading up to this? Where was this the last 11,000 times that they violated a ceasefire agreement? Where was this when they weren't doing their due diligence by the people who elected them? Where was this? Where was this concern? You didn't think that when attacked, their neighbor to the north was going to respond, that they would defend themselves, that they would roll in heavy to save the people that you sent your terrorists out to get and drag into the hellscape of the 300 mile some odd tunnels beneath the strip that's 6 miles wide? Seriously? I mean, you didn't think that that was going to happen. Because if all these people cared as much as they claimed, they would have done everything possible leading up to this to prevent Hamas from doing this. They would have been telling Hamas, stop it. Stop buying rockets. Stop digging up people's water pipes to make your damn bombs with. Stop it. They would have told them this entire time. But all of a sudden, these people weren't watching any of this, people like Cori Bush. Then all of a sudden, when Hamas does what it does and Israel defends itself against the terror and the atrocities, oh my gosh, then all of a sudden these people are paying attention. Oh, you better restrain yourselves. Restrain? That's like telling the United States after 9/11, restrain yourselves. That's like telling the British after the bombing of London to restrain yourselves. Please. Restrain. The restraint should have happened with Hamas prior to this, and it didn't. So let's get the timeline correct. War is hell. And when you get to this point, there's no turning back. These people were warned. There's no turning back. When you get to this point, it is a point of no return. And the consequence of war is horrible. But all of these people who were silent leading up to then, you're culpable. You are all these people making apologies for Hamas and acting like, oh my gosh, you just, you know, you got to let you. You are all as culpable as any other Hamas member in my eyes. You are actually not in my eyes. In reality, you're culpable. Have a pause. 7 hours. Can you imagine? What if the British had been told, oh, now we know that the Nazis bombed the hell out of London, so we're going to need you to give, as you roll towards Berlin, just kind of, we need some pauses. And can you give a 3 hours heads up? This is the one thing I'll say that I disagree with Netanyahu on. I would be like, no. There's no pauses. The pauses should have been beforehand. Y'all didn't say nothing. It wasn't important enough for y'all to say something then, so it must not be important enough for y'all to say anything now. All this, it's all theater. This is what people don't understand about foreign policy, especially at this level. And looking at international politics, when you get to something like this, you got to do everything you can in order to contain and prevent. But when it gets beyond containment and prevention, then you need to stand back and just let people clean up. That is why people say war is hell. And you don't get to redefine it. You don't get to tell the person attacked what the definition of their terms are. You don't get to say anything. Sit down and shut the hell up. I don't want to hear any of these pro-Hamas broads up there getting out, running their mouth, acting like it's straight activism when they're standing in front of Congress. Shut up. So tired of this stuff. Now, there's a couple of other things here. Because we had her censured. I want to pivot and talk about some of the GOP stuff. Because now you have such a mess. This is weird to me. You have in Virginia first is Ronna Romney McDaniel. She used her. I know her. Nothing personal. Romney was part of the name until it was inconvenient. And she is now disputing. She's having a little conflict with the folks in Virginia because Virginia was saying that they didn't get enough help from the RNC. They would have liked to have some more. She's saying that they were told that they didn't need us. So it's a big back and forth because everything is sloppy and ridiculous and everybody has to have their fights publicly. Red State was the one that had this. They said the RNC had refused to spend money in Virginia and McDaniel had refused to accept responsibility. And there's, you know, talking about a lot of the blame. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And we've talked about it all this week, how you had redistricting and also the Republican Party just entirely overperformed in 2021. This is a blue state. And I attribute the overperformance to people's dissatisfaction and fury over lockdown and what was happening with their kids in schools and the CRT and DEI. I think all of that really fueled it, which is why Democrats needed to move quickly to discount the culture war and make it look like it was something that was fringe. Something I will add that some Republicans aided them with because Republicans figured out that their competitors in certain elections who were also Republicans, that's a little bit disadvantageous for them if they're performing more strongly on this issue than they are. So they decided to side with Dems and go to this at the left. That didn't help. So RNC, Red State's got receipts. They said that, no, the RNC had refused to provide financial assistance. And the fact that we know it now is because it was resurfacing before. This was happening before. They said people were meeting with McDaniel's staff at the RNC. They were requesting a match for how much the DNC was committing to their state party. That would have added $1 million to the war chest there. $1 million they would have added to the war chest. So the RNC was denied. They had denied. This was back in the beginning of October. The Virginia GOP's request for cash ahead of the elections. Virginia Republican Party Chairman Rich Anderson met with RNC staffers. He wanted more money for the state to help Youngkin maintain the narrow grip on the House of Delegates and to flip the Senate. But senior staffers deny the request. This is what Audio Soundbite 19. This is what Ronna McDaniel said about this. Listen.
You don't let people lie about you and let it go unanswered. Let it go unanswered. If somebody's spending $30 million against you and they're lying about you and say you won't give life-saving care for miscarriages or ectopic pregnancy, you better get on TV and tell them that that's the voters that that's a lie. Or they think that's the truth. And our candidates have got to do this. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can go and say, this is where I stand. The Democrats are lying. And now let's talk about crime, schools, border, fentanyl, and national security.
I just want to clarify one quick thing, though. The RNC had no involvement in these elections in Virginia per Governor Youngkin's request.
We were told in the summer they didn't need us, that they had all the money and they were good. So that was the conversation.
Thanks for your time.
Wow, that does not seem like that's accurate. That's my friend Larry O'Connor who was asking about that. That does not seem like that was accurate. I mean, there's a lot of people disputing this. First off, you know, it's the Virginia Republican Party that's refuting this. They're saying, no, that they were asking for this. They wanted to maintain that because they were trying to maintain. They had a very, very narrow majority House of Delegates. They wanted to be able to flip the Senate. They needed to be able to twist a couple of seats to do that. And apparently, Anderson had a separate meeting this summer. This is what Ronna Romney McDaniel saying. She was saying that Dave Rexroad, who heads up Youngkin's Political Action Committee, the Spirit of Virginia, he apparently told senior RNC officials that, oh, well, and this was in the summer. RNC said that that Rexroad told at that point in the summer that they didn't need additional money at that point in the summer. And then that was one of the party's that was one of their fundraising meetings that they had. And so I understand. Yes, I get it. How that could affect your budget for the year. However, things do change quickly. And I don't know if it was revisited. I don't know. And I don't even know if this is accurate, because now there, I mean, there's some Republican Party officials in Virginia that are disputing this account. So who's correct? I mean, the RNC doesn't have a great track record right now. I got to be honest with you. If this is what winning looks like, holy hell, can we try losing and see what that does? Good grief. The Republican Party has been on a losing streak since 2018, which is wild to me, because everything with lockdown and the quote unquote vaccines and taxes and the economy, all of these things go in Republicans' favor. And we have at, I don't know of any point prior where we have had such a wealth of good candidates. So what the hell is the matter? I think it's a couple of things. I think it's the branding of the party sucks. We got to get off cult of personality. That's number one. Number two, I think it's just bad strategizing at the RNC. I absolutely do. I think that there are people at the RNC that are afraid to lead and they're afraid to make the difficult decisions. And I think when you get cult of personality stuff, like you saw with the Senate, you had people who were committing to fundraising for one race or another. And then that guy poops the bed. And then, you know, they turn around and have to like rush money and take money from another campaign. I mean, because all of this stuff, you have to sit here and figure out, this is the ad buy we're going to do in this area. This is the ad buy we're going to do in this area. And when you're doing ad buys, as Kane will attest, you know, you're making a commitment a couple of months in advance, and some of those contracts can't be canceled. And then if you do pull money out, if there's an ability to pull money out, that sets a narrative because it looks like you're abandoning the race. And then that just energizes Democrats. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this. There, it is a fecal storm that is happening right now with the RNC. I think there's a couple of major things that are driving this. And I'm going to tell you what, they better get it together, because as of right now, the Virginia, I think, is a bellwether. I think it's a warning sign for what could happen in 2024. Ohio is a warning sign for what could happen in 2024. And these are states previously that went to in 2016 GOP. We're going to talk about this more as we get moving, because we have we also have Days of These United States. Kamala Harris bragging about how well she can talk. Is that what I'm understanding? I think, yeah. I don't know. It's also confusing. The headrest safe is something that I think this is a great, well, it's a great Christmas idea, but I think it's also something that you probably just want to make sure you have for yourself and then get it for other people. So it was designed to be a safe for your firearms, but you can use it for so much more, obviously. I mean, if you have medication, if you have valuables, anything like that. The headrest safe is exactly what it says it is. It's a headrest safe. It's the passenger side, so there's no safety hazard for drivers, and it blends in seamlessly with your car's interior. So it's designed, like I said, as a gun safe, but it's invisible, secure storage. It's guaranteed peace of mind, secure installation, locks into your seat to prevent unauthorized removal. It's actually, if I can install this thing, you can install this thing. It's like you use a deployable toggle bolt. It's actually really easy to do. This thing ain't going nowhere, though, when you get it in there. You can get your items in 2.5 seconds. It has a magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader, but it also has, you know, the backup keypad, a hard key, all of that other stuff as well. It was the Editor's Choice Award with Concealed Carry Magazine for innovation and best-in-class vehicle safe. So like if you're going to the stadium, you're going to a game, right? You can't bring your gun in. You can leave your gun in the headrest safe. This, nobody's getting into this thing and nobody's going to know it's there because it just is invisible. If you are traveling, you want to hide your medication, some important paperwork, whatever, the headrest safe. They can match over 80% of the interiors of the cars sold in the U.S. and that's ever expanding. So the headrest safe caters to anybody seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Get the innovation, see it for yourself at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's the headrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables in vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Well, the presidency. I got some words. I got the vocabulary. And my pronunciation is perfect.
What is that about? I'm very confused. Perfect. I don't even understand, man. Don't even get it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Just as perplexed as you all are. That was the Vice President of the United States. And she's speaking to a group of folks. And has she been doing like the fundraising? She's been going on the campaign trail. I haven't seen her really do. She's only done like a couple. She's not a big fundraiser though, which is why I was shocked that that ended up being like the VP pick, because she is not a good fund. You got to be a good fundraiser to get up to that level. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It is Veterans Day, and we're thanking everyone who has served. A grateful nation salutes you for all of those who have served. We appreciate your sacrifice and your selflessness. And I know a lot of the Veterans Day stuff kicks off. There's a lot of stuff that parades and different things that kick off tomorrow. And I think it just stopped raining in time in Texas where we live in Texas. I mean, it's like the one state where you can drive 1,000 hours and still be in Texas. So nothing was going to get rained out, thankfully. For all of those who have served, honoring all of you, thank you so much. We're very grateful to you. And so I can't believe it's already Veterans Day. Can I just add that really quick? Yeah. Guys, I swear to you, it was just July. Now I'm in a leopard turtleneck. What's up? It's just July. Now we're in turtlenecks and sweaters and boots and Han Solo attire. It happens super fast. All right, so coming up in our second hour, the subpoenas going out for the Biden family. It looks like we may actually get to know, and I'm very excited about this because the ridicule that I have saved up knows no bounds. We may actually get to know who purchased Hunty's art. Yeah, we may, because remember, they hid all of that. They said they weren't hiding it from us. They were really hiding it from Hunt because they didn't want there to be any appearance of impropriety or pay for play or anything like that, right? Did you believe them? Did you? So we'll see. I'm very curious as to who paid for all of this. So we're going to have a little discussion. Also, speaking of Hunt, NBC did a stupid. It's just chef's kiss. So NBC went after Ron DeSantis because they literally said, this is the headline, quote, Ron DeSantis says it's out of bounds to attack candidates' kids, except for Hunter Biden.
Oh, God.
I kid you not. We have to discuss this. We got a lot more still to come. Second hour on the way this Friday. Stick with us, folks. Back in just a moment. All right. So our partners over at Kel-Tec. This is a great Florida company. And if you are unfamiliar with all the stuff that Kel-Tec does, well, you better familiarize yourself. You probably saw some of the stuff that they have in John Wick, for instance, because they've had some other stuff featured in the John Wick film. All right. So the R50, it's awesome. Awesome addition to the 5.7 market. Now I have the P50. If you're familiar with the P50, it stands for 50 pews, the piece for pews. Very scientific term, by the way. It's incredibly versatile. It is a great choice, a popular choice with protective details, sport shooters, all of that. Now, the R50, which is the relative of the P50, has all the benefits of a carbine. You get an ambi side folding stock, 16-inch threaded barrel, awesome ballistics. And it offers over, just like the P50, 7 inches of rail space up top. So you get a wide range of optic options. You got additional rail space on the bottom for accessories. It comes in a whole bunch of different variants, sporting, hunting, serious personal defense. And it also comes with 2 standard capacity, 50-round double stack mags that lay horizontally along the top. Light, well-balanced, easy to manipulate, and very accurate. Great fun on the range as well. So learn more about the new R50 carbine at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Ask the folks at Toyota, which last week announced it would significantly finally increase wages for their workers. You had no choice. They had no choice because of what you did. You helped everybody. And look, I want to thank you for your commitment to the solidarity, for exercising your right to bargain collectively. You made this happen.
Thanks.
And it's no, by the way, it's a bigger thing I think even y'all realize. You change. You're changing the face of the country.
Who is the guy who goes, thanks? Oh my gosh. God bless America. That's POTUS. Welcome back. I'm in a weird mood, dude. Top of the second hour on this Friday, yet another day that Kane hasn't gotten Warhammer to squat up. Top of the second hour. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, we're going to fight about it today. Okay. We're going to fight about it. So get ready. Go ahead and get ready. Get your little team ready. You can sit here and talk to me about your little Rocket League, and then we're going to talk about Warhammer Dark. We're going to just have it. We're going to have the fight. It's all right. It's all right.
Yay, Friday.
So welcome. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, 343, channel 347, DirecTV also. And all kinds of good stuff. So, I really want to get, I need this one. So, this is the one that you just put in Slack. And this is somebody that, it's our vice president. You put this in Slack. Vice president was talking to the pipe fitters, Local 537, right? And she was
explaining
collective bargaining to them. She was explaining them to them. Right? That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and listen. This is, think of the dressing for the word salad. Go ahead.
So collective bargaining is about saying, let the workers have a voice as a collective, all together, representing each one of them as a group. And then go into that negotiation, because then you start to equal out the balance in terms of power in a way that the outcome will be fair. That's what collective bargaining is about. That's what worker organizing is about.
This is one of my favorite comments I've ever read in my life. She should have never have quit her job at the thesaurus factory. So profound. So happy that she explained such a complex word, Kane, meaning it's not simple. So, you know, collective bargaining is about, you know, people doing things together collectively as a collective, collecting their same positions to negotiate, you know, for a deal, a bargain, collectively, all together, as a group. She loves the Venn diagrams, that one.
How does Saturday Night Live not do, like, you would think
that
she would be,
right?
Like, what is going on?
The fact that they don't make fun of her, they're not about comedy.
No.
I think your humor sucks when you just can't take the obvious. Like, even if I agree with you, if you do something goofy and stupid, I'm going to make fun of you. Right. Because I'm an equal opportunity ridiculer. And I don't respect people who are not. So if I do something dumb and you don't make fun of me, we can't be friends. If you do something dumb and you don't like it, if I make fun of you for doing it, then we can't be friends. Because life is too short not to laugh at other people. That's just all there is to it. Like Kane not wanting to play Warhammer, for instance. So we're having this.
It's not
this
accurate.
Is an ongoing fight that we're having.
You're describing it as I don't want to, and that's not even, that's not
you
accurate.
Haven't.
No, that's accurate.
So it is, so you is it indicative of you not wanting to?
No.
Or you just, you wanting to, but just not having the time because you're so busy with Rocket League?
Yeah, no, I wish I was more busy with Rocket League. I only get a chance to play, you know, Rocket League with my son over in Illinois. Once maybe every 10 days or so. It's not very much.
So see,
a couple,
like,
times a month.
You play Rocket League with him, but then when you're not playing with him, you could squat up, right? I'm just saying.
I could, probably. I'll have to carve out some time, throw it in the calendar. I can do it.
See?
I could make it happen.
We could have like a whole team squad, dude. Like a whole Dana Radio, and then we'll get Juan into it.
You said Dark Tide, right?
Yeah. And then Steve is like, I don't even know. Does Steve, you don't play really, right? He's like the only millennial who's not really into games. Right?
Oh, that I know. I said this before. I grew up in a house full of women, so there's no video games in my house growing up.
Be a nerd for once, damn it. Come on. Nerd out with us.
I nerd out on other things. It's not video games.
He's like so straight-laced. He's just like, yes, well. But no, I think it that's one of the, it's a great, so I'm going to keep bringing that up constantly until I break
all
you.
All right.
Because it's great fun. It's great fun, Kane. You get to go at zombies, and you can crush them into meat pulps.
Maybe that's what I'll do for you.
Collectively, together as a collective.
Maybe for Christmas. You mean as a group?
As a group, all together. A collective.
Understood.
That's the way it is. And then we can bargain about what level of malice we would like to play.
I'm glad you cleared it up, because I thought collective bargaining was you, collecting bargains. Like
that's, actually, I'm so glad that you brought that up. Because, for instance, so my stepdad, right, is the coupon king. So I don't know how it works in some people's homes, but in the home in which I grew up, first it was me and my mom for a long time, and then when my mom and my stepdad got together, he is, very good at couponing and finding the coupons and saving the coupons, and he would keep them all organized in a letter organizer that he hung on the back of the pantry door, a little pantry door in the kitchen, and all the different coupons. And when he makes a grocery list, parts of the paper, there's invisible borders, and you're not allowed to put any non-dairy item in the dairy section that is not at all marked on the grocery list. It's just not at all marked. And it's just, he writes it out how he goes into the aisles. And he would not allow my mother to go to the grocery store, because he's like, she gets distracted and picks up other things. And so he's like, you don't get to go. And so, normally it's just the thermostat is the territory, right? The dads, they take over. No, in this house, it was also the grocery store shopping. So you had to have a coupon to get it. If you wanted it, there better be a coupon or you ain't getting it.
You know what? Quick question.
Uh-huh.
Coupon or coupon?
He says coupon.
Right.
Who am I to argue with the king?
I've heard it, though, both ways.
I have, too. My mom says coupon, and he's like, that's wrong.
Is there a singular way that's correct?
I don't know. I'm not going to fight with him about it. Everybody else is welcome to take up the issue with Pawpaw. But, it's not going to be me.
Just call them paper bargains.
Paper bargains that we're collecting collectively. Right. But, no, that's what he'd do. He would collect the bargains. Yep. He would collect the coupons. And I remember one time I wanted Cap'n Crunch, and I, heaven forbid, I put it in the meat section, and he's like, I just got to get a whole new piece of paper now. No, he got the white out, and he would white it out. It was notebook paper, dude. It was college ruled notebook paper. Yeah. It's got to be perfect. No scratching out, because it gets confusing and sloppy, and he doesn't like the sloppiness and confusion, right? My kids think he can do no wrong because he's forklift certified. I don't know. He operates a forklift. And then he got bored in retirement and then wanted to go back to drive more forklifts. So I don't know. But he's like, no, this is not how this works. You cannot put the cereal where the meat goes. I'm like, okay. Oh, well, just can we get it? Is there a coupon for it? Is there a coupon for the Cap'n Crunch? I did not have a coupon for the Cap'n Crunch at that particular time. So Dana did not get the Cap'n Crunch. Now, when he did find the Cap'n Crunch later with the Crunch Berries, he had a coupon for it, and that was a nice surprise. But that's the house I grew up in. It didn't exist on the store shelves. He would say the store's out of it if there wasn't a coupon for it. And I know these were lies. And he's like, no, the store didn't have any. I'm like, you're serious? The store didn't have any Cap'n Crunch? That's a lie. We know this is lies. You just didn't have a coupon. Not the same thing. But he was a collector of bargains. And he was in the union, but he was a collector of bargains, you could say, like Kamala Harris was explaining. But I just go out and collect bargains. I love it. Yeah. He's got the coupons. All right. So this couple of other things here. Do we want more stupid?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Let's do more stupid. Audio soundbite 17. This chick.
This is the message of Republicans in 2024. Control women's bodies and bomb stuff. They have no other governing philosophy. That's just it. That's it.
That's right. That's what we want to do. We're going to control your bodies and bomb the hell out of stuff. Vote for us. Control and bomb. Man alive. That's her analysis is what you get from that one drunk friend at the end of the night as the party wanes and everyone else goes home and the lights come up. There's no more alcohol. And it's that one drunk friend who has had enough liquid courage where they think they're an expert in all things political. And they will not shut up. That's Joy Reid's level of political analysis. All these Republicans, they just want to get out there and control women's bodies. Burp, burp, burp. What? Like how? What do you mean? They want to control the abortions. What? Like, they act like Republicans are making women go out there and procreate like bunnies and then telling them, nope, now I got it. No abortions for you. No, you can't do this. We're making you do it. No one's making anybody do nothing. We're just saying, you know, be responsible so you don't have to kill nobody as a form of birth control. That's all. That's all people are saying. So, and bombing? What do you mean bombing? Democrats were the ones who were wanting to get us involved in every damn thing, from Hillary Clinton to Libya to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, going down to Venezuela, going down to, I mean, good heavens. They want to get us involved in everything, every South American election. I use it in air quotes. Good, everything. I think the new neocons are Democrats. So what is she talking about? She just says stuff to say it. Control women's bodies. If I could control your bodies, I would shut you up. If I actually could control bodies, you wouldn't be talking, because I would have shut up your mouth. That's what would have happened. They give us way more power than we have. You know what? Actually, maybe that should be the motto. I want to control your body so I can shut you the hell up. Vote for me. I actually think that that's a winning slogan, right? Maybe not. You disagree?
No, I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's a great slogan. Vote for me and I'll shut them all up. Love that. Okay, where do I sign? Where do I vote? Where can I vote illegally even? Let's make it happen.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I got to immediately start with Pumpkin the Bear. Hansen. I don't even know where this is. Hansen Police, WBZ News, say that Pumpkin the Bear is going to have to be euthanized after killing a goat. Is that not what bears do? I mean, it's a bear. Bears kill goats, right? They said the black bear has gotten a taste for livestock. Killed a goat inside a barn Wednesday night. It's the second time Pumpkin has attacked livestock, said police, although the owners had an electric fence and reinforced barn doors. See, if you have to put down the bear, then why the hell do I got to carry bear spray if I'm going into, like, Yosemite and I'm going into a park? Thank you. Just saying. The bear got his nickname in September after he was seen snacking on a pumpkin in a resident's yard. He's a big, giant black bear. They said, unfortunately, he's becoming too comfortable in the area. It's not his fault, and he's found too many food sources. He's going to have to be euthanized. You people are morons. You are the dumbest people. You don't have to euthanize the damn bear. Put him in, you know what? Like, put him in a zoo. Put him in a zoo or like a nature reserve, or relocate him or something like that. You don't got to kill him. He's a big fat black bear. Yes, he killed a goat, because that's what bears eat. Quit having bears food around them. I'm joking about that last part, but flexible work hours can make your heart 10 years younger. That doesn't make any sense to me. What? I think this is weird. They said that flexible hours may reduce the risk of heart disease. I think that this has to do with like habits and patterns and behaviors, less so with us. Don't you think so? Because nobody's stopping you from getting up and taking a little walk around the yard. Nobody's stopping you from doing that. I don't know. Some of these studies are weird. Exploding marijuana infused cider drinks were recalled in Michigan. It's called... I'm really confused by this whole drink, because it sounds horrible. The can is called Armada Cannabis Company, Cannabis Apple Cider. You don't have to put cannabis on everything, just like you don't have to put pumpkin spice in everything, right? You don't need pumpkin spice tires. Your fridge doesn't need Wi-Fi. You don't need cannabis in everything. 15,000 cans of marijuana-infused cider drinks. That, honestly, that sounds horrible. Cider should be not... with that flavor in it. They said it's a single batch of Armada Cannabis Apple Cider. They said they've been swelling and bursting. They said they've received, the reports have been from retailers, not from actual consumers. The cans in question list January 2nd as an expiration date. Like, you do not have to put cannabis in every single thing. I think people are going overboard with that, like the pumpkin spice stuff. I really do. I think that's just like there's way too much. Stop it. You don't need to do all that. Let's see. This, the nation is at risk of winter blackouts as the power grid remains uncertain or remains under strain. Yeah, it does remain under strain. This is why you need to get a generator.
But more EVs?
Yeah, let's have more EVs. A cruise robo-taxi dragged a pedestrian in San Francisco. Yeah, see, in San Francisco, the cars drag you. It's that one of the driverless cars. The vehicle software mischaracterized where the robo-taxi initially struck the woman, leading it to make the wrong decision. I won't even have a damn Roomba. I would never get in. I would never do this. Never. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I watched it before. I watched it as a kid. I watched it as a senator. I watched what happened in my community. It changed everything.
I just don't know why he just like randomly screams something. As I guess that's his verbal way to underscore, to italicize, to something. I don't know. I'm just really confused about that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. Bottom of this second hour. Yeah, he just starts randomly screaming in the middle of his speech. He struggled to put on a shirt as well. Can we qualify? Is this, I'm doing it. I don't care. I guess 7x5. He struggled to put on a shirt too. Check it. But no, it's totally fine. Okay. And it's on. Oh, it's on backwards. Wait a minute. Let me. It's on the backwards. Is it on frontwards? Is it on? No, he's all right. He's gonna do it. This too. Oh, he can't. Oh, and it's yay. I'm with myself. He's got it. He's got the guy helping him. Can you do what Jill does in the morning? Just pull us in. I'm just saying. Now. I told you how the House Oversight is moving, not House Oversight, Judiciary. They're moving to issue, they're issuing those subpoenas. They're issuing the subpoenas, and it really looks like we might see who was buying that heinous art that Hunter Biden was making. You guys know, you guys were such a fan of it. I mean, it is, it was the spit art that he did, right? And they kept saying that they weren't going to identify the people who bought it because they don't want Hunter to know, they didn't want him to know, and they were acting as though that was some way of preventing the appearance of impropriety, except, apparently he did know. And the gallery owner that did all of this, as you know, was, you know, big fundraiser, bundler, and all this stuff for the Bidens, for Democrats. So anyway, I'm just amazed at some of the stuff that's coming out because he now apparently we're not only going to find out who, let me pull my story up here, who's giving them money, but you can't really talk about it. Again, NBC has one of the stupidest headlines out there. It says, Ron DeSantis says it's out of bounds to attack candidates' kids, except for Hunter Biden. So they're slamming him for doing that. This is what they say. Quote, they quote DeSantis as going, I think kids are out of bounds. I didn't think that was an appropriate thing to do. He's talking about Vivek Ramaswamy. Quote, said DeSantis, who has three young children. He added, I keep the kids out of it for sure. But on the campaign trail, the governor does not shy away from making a punchline out of Hunter Biden, joking about his history of addiction and embarrassing details of his personal life that have surfaced publicly. Wow. They act like Hunter Biden's the new Hunter Biden, as Steve pointed out, is literally older than Ron DeSantis. He's older than Ron DeSantis by a lot. I mean, he's like nearly 10 years older than Ron DeSantis. So you can't do the baby Hunter Biden thing here. It's not going to happen. Hunter Biden is not. And the other thing that's different, and I've always said this, keep the kids out of it unless the kids are on the campaign trail, unless the kids are working in the administration, unless the kids are making money off the administration. It's all fair game. If they're out there making speeches on behalf of dad, if they're out there raising money, if they're out there making bank off of what dad does, that is completely germane. Look, if they can sit here and merch off their dad in elected office, you sure as hell can talk about them merching off their dad in elected office. So this is stupid for NBC to come out and do this. They say, they do admit, quote, while Hunter Biden is an adult, So is Haley's daughter, albeit a few decades younger. Her daughter is young enough to be Hunter Biden's daughter. So shut up. It's not even a comparison. They said, quote, for example, DeSantis has repeatedly mentioned Hunter Biden during his stump speech when talking about banning explicit material from Florida public schools. And they talk about the Hunter Biden laptop, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, can you believe the whole point of this article is they're trying to say, no, you can't say that you can't talk about other candidates' kids when you all talk about Hunter Biden. But I never saw, I don't even know what Nikki Haley's kid's name is. Again, she's young enough to be Hunter Biden's kid. She doesn't merch off of an elected office. She is not involved in impropriety in merging off an elected office. She isn't on the president or Air Force One. She's not on the executive jet. She's not using the executive office to get cash for her family. Oh my gosh, it's not even a comparison. Stop it. Heaven forbid. They want to do everything. Why are you guys protecting this white trash, just absolute mess? Who tries to act like, you know, he had issues and character flaws, major ones, before his addiction got out of control. I mean, there's a reason why he got into drugs, okay? This dude, and that's not to say not everybody has these character flaws, but he sure as hell did. Not every criminal has a drug addiction, and not every drug addict is a criminal. But that describes Hunter Biden. All of it. Good heavens. Now, they said that he's not the only candidate to go after the Biden family. And they said that Ramaswamy, who I disagree with as a candidate, because I think a lot of the stuff he goes back and forth on too much, but they went after him. They go, he spreads conspiracy theories about the United States and Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine. How is that a conspiracy theory? He's citing actual stuff, like their own emails and texts. How the hell is that a conspiracy theory? Well, because we don't like it, that's why. Just because you don't like it doesn't make it a conspiracy theory. You know what? Hold on.
This is what gets me in trouble.
I got to put my thing in my case, because we got to talk about big tech for a moment. Hold up. I'm going to put my sock hat on my computer. I can't put it on my head because it'll mess up my hair. We literally just did this. We begged these people to send us stuff. So this, I'm not, don't worry. I'm going to put my phone in my thing. Do me a favor real quick. Kane, call my phone real quick right now. I'm going to see something. Hold up. I want to show you guys because I want to do my redhead because we got to talk about how big tech is censoring the hell out of us right now. So just want to make sure. Just call my phone real quick. It'll ring at some point because I got to talk about big tech going at us.
Calling it right now.
Why is it not ringing? I mean, it's supposed to be ringing. All my stuff's up. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, all right, you're calling me. I'm not taking your call, obviously. So I'm going to put it in the thing and then you can try. You can try calling it because then we got to talk about big tech is slamming us so bad right now. I'm putting it in my Faraday
lab. Tell people
thing.
Where this pouch is from.
Oh, yeah. So we are, it's actually Kane who is crazy and was wrapping his whole head in tin foil. And we were like, you're going to die. Can you find something that's not going to hurt you?
Right.
And so he found that it's like it's called Faraday Labs. This thing will not ring. Call my phone again. Right. I haven't turned it off. I'm doing this because I want to talk smack, and I don't want them to get me.
Let's see what it does.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I'm calling. It's now, well, it's not ringing.
No, it's not ringing at all. This is crazy. It's literally not ringing.
Call has been forwarded to it.
Yeah, and then I purposely leave my voicemail full because I hate messages. I hate all of it. Anyway, I'm just going to keep this in here because, yeah. So here's what's up. I got another little thing on Instagram. I got a whole bunch of more notices on, like a whole handful of notices on Facebook. This comes after YouTube took down two of my videos two of the videos for The Dana Show, because we had on Dr. Robert Malone, we had on Dr. Tess Lori. Lori was only talking about ivermectin as a method to treat symptoms. And she was talking very specifically about how it works to alleviate some of the symptoms that go along with having the Rona. And some, you know, barista dropout button pusher at YouTube, they decided that they didn't like our video. The video was like, this was posted over a year ago. So they started taking these videos down. And they told me yesterday, because I disputed it, and they're like, no, sorry. They didn't actually tell me what in the video they thought was misinformation. They claimed that I was spreading misinformation, which I think is an impugnation of my character. And they said that I was spreading misinformation. And I said, I had asked them, can you actually articulate what? And they couldn't. They wouldn't. They're like, no, it's just, we just don't. We hate you. They didn't say it like that, but that's basically what it is. They couldn't actually say a single thing as to why. They couldn't point to a single thing anywhere. They couldn't actually articulate why any of it would be considered in any way misinformation. And so we got that. Then we get the notice, and I had this, and this was from, they didn't even show me what this was. They didn't even show me what this one video was. They told me that, let me pull this up, and I sent this to Kane and Juan. They showed that they had removed these posts on Facebook. They said it went against our rules, but then they didn't tell me what post it was, what video it was, or what rules it violated. They just said, no, it violates our community standards violation. That means I'm going to post more of it. Whatever it was it? I don't know what it was. Was it somebody who was mad that I was saying that Palestine is a fictional country? I don't know. Because it is. Fight me. I don't know. These people are these fascists. This is so stupid. This is absolute. You know, but these are the same people that are like, no. If you sit here and glorify Hamas and you say from the river to the sea, that's okay. If you sit here and scream kill the Jews on college campuses, that's okay. But heaven forbid you point out that, you know, ivermectin actually can help alleviate symptoms that go along with Rona, or that you point out that, you know, Palestine actually isn't a real country. It was completely made up. It's a fictional place. There's no Palestinian people, that it's not supported by 2000 years of antiquity. And it was completely fabricated out of the ether by Hadrian after the Second Judean Uprising, because he quelled that. And then he was like, yeah, I'm going to be a spiteful D-bag. So I'm going to name this Syria Philistina after the Philistines, who are Greek, and they're all here half a century before Arabs even got into the area. So just gonna say, I don't know, just history and fact. So I just feel like, you know, I'm gonna have to wrap all our stuff, because these people, they're like Coleman. They're like listening to everything now. Okay, did I talk enough smack about it? Because I also don't like it if I talk about stuff and it shows ads. That's creepy. It shows ads. You know how I was talking about possum stuff? It was showing me possum stuff yesterday. What? Dude, for real. What? Dude. I bet I could put my phone on my sock hat too. I bet it would do the same thing.
There's possum stuff out there?
Yeah, there's, well, it was like to kill them. And I was like, no, like for pets, man.
You try and call it while it's in the hat? And we try to call your phone when it's in the hat?
Oh, no. I just said it over here. We got to get moving though, because we've got Florida Man on the way. Yeah. And Florida Man's like the sanest part of our day, which is the weirdest thing to say, but it is.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh, I have like so many. I love Florida Man. I love Florida Man so much, because just when you think you've heard it all, I guarantee you haven't. All right, so first stop, I'm going to get to the snake stuff, but hold up. So this is the five alligator guy.
Florida man found with five alligators living in his bathtub. An anonymous tip led officers to the man's house. A Florida man has been ordered to appear in court after officers found five young alligators living in his bathtub. An anonymous tip led officers to 38-year-old Robert Robinson's house. Officers then contacted Robinson over the phone when they arrived, and he confirmed that, yes, he did have the gators inside, and he allowed them to check inside of his house. They found five alligators in the bathtub. I swear, isn't this like a song?
Right.
Isn't this like a song, like alligators in the bathtub?
I don't
before making sure he didn't have any other wildlife in any other parts of his house. He told the officers that he caught the gators from a pond near his home, but it remains unclear how long they were in his possession. They were released into this very confusingly spelled lake. Florida people are just going to just get me. Stop. Wait, it's Lake Tohopakalaga.
Oh, that sounds right.
We did it. Yay. Officers found the alligators on October 23rd, and they cited the incident with Florida Fish and Wildlife, blah, blah, blah. You have to have a permit to possess wildlife as a personal pet. I thought this was America. So that means I couldn't have a... no, but thank you, Miss Susie with her alligator purse. No, I can't. Could I not have a possum?
Oh.
I'm just wondering. Yeah. All right, this is about soccer or football. A Naples, Florida soccer coach was arrested because he got mad at a call by a ref on Wednesday night, and he decided to go up and headbutt the referee.
Oh.
Yeah, 43-year-old Jose Garcia, he did not have the best reaction. It was Eagles Lake Community Park, and they got a call from a witness in response to a battery. Garcia told them that referee Juan Mendoza reprimanded him for a foul, and he thought the referee made a bad call. So he went to argue with the referee. They gave the yellow card at him. And then he got mad, just headbutted him. And then so that because he was screaming profanities, and then he headbutted him and he got a red card and they threw him out of the game. That's not really how you deal with that. But, you know, I mean, I like how he goes, whenever we play, it just gets a little physical.
Just a little
bit. And then one of the witnesses, Nancy Morales, says, I think he should take a chill pill. It's a game. He's not going to win anything out of it. All right, we got our third hour on the way. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show coming up after this.
Today, West Virginia is attracting more investment, opportunity, and jobs than it has in decades. Here at home and across the country, we are building more roads, bridges, manufacturing plants, and energy infrastructure than almost any time in America's history. After months of deliberation and long conversation with my family, I believe in my heart of hearts that I have accomplished what I set out to do for West Virginia. I've made one of the toughest decisions of my life and decided that I will not be running for re-election to the United States Senate. But what I will be doing is traveling the country and speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together. To the West Virginians who have put their trust in me and fought side by side
to make our state better. Well, this was the last chance the Democrats had to hold a majority in the Senate. And the Senate Democrats in the upper chamber this was their hope. And now Manchin saying that he's not going to seek re-election in 2024. Whoo-hoo. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you this Friday. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. And he announced this yesterday, post-star broadcast yesterday. They're going to flip this seat in West Virginia because let me just explain here a little bit. So in West Virginia, this was a state. I think what Trump took this in 16, was it plus 12, took again, I believe in 2020. Manchin is a Democrat. And a lot of people wonder how he's very similar to Beshear in Kentucky, where you get these more moderate Democrats who, yes, they vote with Democrats. I mean, I completely agree with you, but the way that, remember, everything's decided in the margins, the way that it's viewed is that, okay, so he's a moderate Democrat, he's going to vote this way on some things, and, you know, he looks like he's pretty even-keeled. He wasn't a nutty Democrat. Like, Beshear's not a nutty Democrat, at least, you know, they may, again, the policies, and that's one thing, but that's not how they appear to voters. And with Manchin, there were a lot of things that he did go against his own party in the Senate, energy being one of them. But yet when he was compromising on some of this EV stuff, that made a lot of voters in West Virginia mad, and it started really affecting him in the polls. There's a lot of discussion as to whether or not he was even going to, if he would be able to win re-election, which I think it would have been, I think it's his to lose. And I think really to figure out what this means and what he's going to do in the future, you have to look at
whether I think you have to look at his popularity in West Virginia as kind of the Rosetta Stone of this, right? So if he doesn't have a shot in hell of winning re-election, then he can just go ahead and step aside and then try to, if he's made his base mad enough that he's not going to win re-election, he can, you know, try to ride his name nationally, perhaps. But I don't think that translates into running for office, because if he doesn't have the chance of winning his seat in Senate, if he can't win it in re-election, there's no way in hell he would be able to successfully run for president. I just don't think that you can overcome that, because that narrative in your own backyard really is magnified, and that will become the narrative for his campaign nationally were he to run. But I don't necessarily think, and I disagree with some folks, because I think the polling is a little bit, I think that it's kind of his to lose. Still, he can make his voters mad, but then they look back at, you know, did he deliver for them on this? Did he deliver for them on that other issue, etc.? So he's, it looks like that seat's going to go, I mean, that seat without him, it's going to go red. I think what you got, Jim Justice, he's going to win the party's nomination. There's not anybody. No Democrat that's going to challenge him on that. There's no Democrat coming up in the primary. They've had Manchin there for so long. So that seat's going to go red. So that'll be a seat that they've lost. That's going to just absolutely destroy their ability to maintain control of that upper chamber. And they have too many other very, very competitive races that they're going to have to worry about. So the Senate looks really, really difficult for Democrats, because you've got Arizona as well. And then you have Ohio. And then you've got these purpley states that also includes Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. You know, you get these purple states. So it's very difficult, I think, for Democrats to win all of those. But obviously they're going to try. For the Republicans, it's a lot more difficult for Republicans in the House with a number of these House races. So this could very well be a thing where we may lose the House majority, but then we would win the Senate going into 24. I mean, I would rather have the House than the Senate, if I'm being honest, because it's a power of the purse. But this is, you know, it'd be great to get both. But all of that's also going to be determined as to what is happening at the top of the ticket. Now, the idea of Joe Manchin being able to challenge Joe Biden, that would be a... that would be a really interesting thing, because remember, I'm going back to this, LBJ. So in 1968, LBJ went on national TV and he had also said, he's like, he was talking about division, etc. And he declared that he was not going to run again for president. And that. Just, and that was in March. So that shocked the heck out of everybody. So he ended up dropping out. Some people are wondering whether or not Joe Biden could pull an LBJ and kind of do the same thing. And then you could have somebody like a Manchin that would go in. Joe Manchin, I think he'd still get beaten, but I think he would be a hell of a lot more competitive than Joe Biden would be. I don't think that Joe Biden also, I don't think he's doing as poorly as the polls show. Again, you cannot. Too many people on the right go back and forth over polls. I mean, they were like, well, we can't believe polls in 2016. And then you can't believe polls in 2018. You can't believe polls in 2020. You can't believe the polls only when they show you what you want to know. There has to be some consistency. And I honestly think that they're overselling you how much trouble he's in. Because one thing that we know for sure is when people go out to vote, they will hate vote. They may loathe their guy, but they will hate vote against somebody that they dislike more than their guy. You have to understand the psychology of an election and of voting. If you have, and this is how, when I say that things are going to be determined by the margins, this is how it would play out in 2024, where the general is going to be decided in the primary. The primary is the general this time around. So if you have, Trump has super high negatives with independents. He just does. I mean, there's like a whole thing. I'm just telling you what I see reflected in the polling. I'm just telling you what I see. People need to stop assigning emotional value to it. Because everything is determined in the margins in Virginia, but most particularly Ohio, what ended up happening is people will take and project the brand that they think is a Trump-led GOP, and they will project that on other Republicans. they will definitely do that if he's with him at the top of the ticket. And what they'll do is that margin that will end up determining who's I mean, unfortunately, that's where the polls are now. I mean, the base, of course, the base is always going to be strong. But again, that's not where victory is determined. It's just not determined there. It's determined by the margins. That's why you have to increase your chances in the margins by having an insane turnout, which Republicans suck out loud at doing. But long story short, the hate voting, they will, if they dislike Trump more than they dislike Biden, they will hate vote and they will vote in favor of Biden. That's just the way it is. And that's what showed in Ohio, and it's what showed in Virginia. And that's what I'm a little nervous about. His people got to figure out a way to get around that. They got to figure out a way to reset that perception. That is a campaign issue that they have to deal with. And if you want to, I want to win in 2024. I don't care how the hell I do it. I want to win. And I want all of my vulnerabilities in every single candidate and all this primary. I need all that to be remedied so that we have the strongest options going forward. And it does not help me, and it does not help America, and it does not help the cause of victory for people to stick their heads in their sand and out of ego or out of vanity say that there's nothing that needs to be fixed. That's not true. If you want to win, fix it and win. That being said, Manchin, I don't think can win nationally. I don't think he could win nationally. I think that he would be looked at as another old dude. That's why I think that they have Newsom running the shadow campaign, unless it's a Newsom-Manchin ticket. Now, that would be a powerful ticket for Democrats. Think about it. You have somebody who's coming from the governor's side of things. Then you have a very popular old school senator. You got somebody from the far left out in California who's going to be able to deliver that socialist base. Then you would have somebody like Manchin who could tie up a lot of those, again, the margins, independents. If you run those dudes on a ticket together, that's very interesting. Very interesting. I don't like it, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of independents out there that are going to be looking at that going, okay. It's and yeah, Manchin's a lot older. It's like the same age discrepancy between what, W and Cheney. So yeah, I mean, I think that would be their most successful chance for a ticket for Democrats, because Manchin will not win as president. There's no way in hell he's not going to happen. He's too moderate for his own base. There's no way in hell he'd win. You got to remember, Democrats are just communist at this point. And you got to play to that base. This is why you got the president of the United States being terrified to condemn Hamas practically. So this is very, very interesting. And it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, you would have a presidential contender bow out like that. But I think it's, you know, interesting. Speaking of senators, I got to just point out, do we have this? I think we got, I don't know if we have, there's not any audio, but I'm not a fan of John Fetterman. I'm still not a fan of John Fetterman. And what he may lack in sense, I think the dude sometimes has in balls. So I say this because he was leaving the Senate. This was yesterday. And there was a huge gathering of pro-Hamas protesters outside of the door where they exit when they leave their offices. And they had police presence out there. They had the tape up, et cetera, et cetera. And Fetterman was walking out of this door. Juan has the video of this. If you're watching the simulcast, he walks out in front of these pro-Hamas protesters, and he's waving the Israeli flag, just walking out, holding it up, walking out. He's in shorts and sneakers and a hoodie, and he's walking out, and he's waving the Israeli flag, and he's looking right at him and smiling with a, as my grandmother would say, a poo-eating grin. Not like that, but you get what I'm saying. So, like I said, I'm not a fan of the guy. I think it's goofy that he would try to die on the hill of wearing a hoodie and shorts to office. But if he keeps trolling the Hamas caucus of his own party like that, I may complain a little less about the shorts. I'm just saying. You know, I may be willing to look the other way a little bit about the shorts and the hoodie. I didn't say totally. I said, you know, I may be willing to look the other way if he keeps trolling them like this. Because here's the thing. He's got blank U security right now in Pennsylvania. He's got a little bit before that. He's got a little bit. There's not, and they need him there. They don't have anybody else that could come up and take that seat, even right now. So they got it. They basically, and they're so narrow a victory, a majority in the Senate, they can't do anything to make him mad. So they're going to let him do whatever. So he basically has like a get out of jail free card with his own party. And he doesn't, and clearly he doesn't care. So, you know, maybe I might look a little bit the other way. I might be willing to look the other way on the hoodie and the shorts as long as he keeps trolling those pro-Hamas terror apologists. I'm just saying. So that's, I thought that was very interesting. Don't you agree, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they got mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got mad at him. And then even they started yelling at him, he raised it up higher. I just thought it was so, I thought it was funny. So, oh, okay. All right. There you go.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so now in Oregon, there's no bar exam required to practice law beginning next year. The law graduates will be able to become licensed in Oregon without having to take the bar exam. The Oregon Supreme Court on Tuesday approved an alternative licensing program that reformers hope will spur further innovation in other states. Candidates will spend 675 hours working under the supervision of an experienced attorney and create a portfolio of legal work that bar officials will then grade as an alternative to the traditional exam. It's called the Supervised Practice Portfolio Examination. And it's going to be open to graduates of both in-state and out-of-state schools. That's a departure. Wisconsin allows graduates of the state's two law schools to become licensed without passing the bar, what they call diploma privilege. New Hampshire, there's a small cohort that's allowed. California does, they do apprenticeships. They're kind of reforming a little bit how they change it. In some instances, they're looking at getting rid of the LSAT for entrance into some law schools. It's very weird. Oh, wow. A Canadian couple welcomes an enormous child. It shattered the hospital record. This baby, ladies, this baby looks like a toddler in the photos. 14 pounds.
Oh, man.
14 pounds, 8-ounce infant. 21, almost 22 inches long. This is a fat baby. The baby's name is Sunny. More than double the size of an average newt. He's absolutely adorable, but oh my gosh, 14-pound, 8-ounce baby boy. I know, and when the dad was holding him, it looked like a toddler. It was wild. Japan, briefly, they think it's temporary. It may not last, but they got a little new island after an undersea volcano erupted and put that cool lava up to the surface. They said it was near Iwoto Island. Eruptions began for this last month. And speaking of eruptions, Mount St. Helens records more than 400 earthquakes since mid-July. No signs of an imminent eruption, though. So stick with us, because there's leaked cables saying that Biden's endangering Arab support. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One candidate or another candidate, but it's... I'm generally against things that are anti-meritocratic or where there's an attempt to suppress discussion, where even discussing a topic is, not allowed. The woke mind virus is communism rebranded.
It's true. It's absolutely correct. It's the woke mind virus. It's a part of the... whether you want to call it CRT, DEI, it's a part of that cultural theory that takes the economic aspect and replaces it with this cultural aspect, the identity politics, etc. Not that it hasn't always been there. But it's just more of a focus over the economic division that has always been the preferred mode of division from the far left. Welcome back to the program. That's Elon Musk, who was giving an interview. And I thought that's a very succinct way to put it. Although I think a lot of people have been recognizing it now, and they see how absolutely ridiculous it all has been, because the more division you have, the more people are focused on the bread and circuses of, political theater, then the less time that they have to look at what government is doing, the less time they have to see what government is doing with your money, to see what government is doing with your resources. And that's intentional. They want you to focus on all of the squabbling. They want people fighting amongst each other. And they love that they have a whole segment of culture, the far left, that they can send out there and push these issues and pick the fights, etc. Those are that's their militant activist wing, these folks who go out and do this stuff. So, you know, whether it's, you know, the CRT, the DEI, the undermining of justice with these far left funded prosecutors, I mean, all of that, it's all part of it. So that's precisely true. It's absolutely accurate. I have a couple of things that I want to touch on as we roll here with the bottom of this third hour of the program here this Friday. One of the things that I wanted to hit on, that, let me pull this over here. This is from a couple of different reports. So there's this leaked U.S. diplomatic cable from Oman, our embassy in Oman, and it's warning, quote, that Biden's support for Israel's military campaign is losing us Arab publics for a generation. And Hamas claims that 11,000 million Palestinians have been killed in the conflict. And this is, they report these numbers with zero evidence. Look at everything, by the way, that the IDF does. They have to, people are like, no, show us some dead babies. And they literally have to show you baby heads. And everyone's like, well, I guess maybe. But then Hamas goes, a million of our people have been killed. No one stops and goes, wait, what? Actually, they said 10,000. That doesn't even make sense. What? No. And everyone, the world just takes what they say as full on gospel. They just take it as absolute truth. And so that's they said that the administration has been warned by U.S. diplomats in the Arab world that it's losing Arab publics for a generation by supporting Israel's campaign in Gaza. It was a confidential message from the U.S. embassy in Oman. And it read, quote, we are losing badly on the messaging battle space as Arab leaders judge the U.S.'s support for Israel's material and moral culpability and what they consider to be possible war crimes. The cable was from the second highest official in Muscat. It was sent to security offices, including the White House's National Security Council, CIA, and FBI. And they cited conversations with a wide range of trusted and sober-minded. I don't care. Is this supposed to be a threat? We're not going to support you anymore if you don't stop supporting Israel's right to defend itself. When we've ever had their full support? I'm sorry. Are we supposed to be worried about nations that just, you know, I don't know how many, 22 years ago helped to facilitate a terror attack on the United States? Am I supposed to be concerned? That we're losing their good opinion because we believe that an ally has the authority to defend itself. It's interesting how these cables start coming now and they didn't go beforehand. Again, all of this concern is after the fact, after Hamas carries out a terrorist attack, after they violated yet another ceasefire that was in place on October 6th, after all of this buildup over the years, knowing that they were planning and wanted to carry out something else, after it was well known that they had all of these tunnels underneath Gaza, after all of this, and now the cables come out. There were no cables going out about Hamas perhaps endangering peace between Arab nations and the Western and Western nations if they decided to attack Israel. Were there no cables that went out about that? Because I don't care one iota about their good favor or their concern. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. The end. And I really don't give a hot damn about any nation that either was in any way complicit, culpable, involved, knew of, or whatever, the terror attack on 9/11, now wanting to pass, if anybody wanted to pass judgment on the United States defending an ally who's defending itself against a 9/11. They're trying to put the pressure on Biden and make him break his knees to get him to bend them. And he's weak and he'll do it. With enough pressure, he'll do it. That's the sad thing. He absolutely will. So that's what this is a pressure campaign. They're saying we need a ceasefire. They keep doing the ceasefire. Again, there was a ceasefire in place October 6th. You want what you violated? after the report of the journalist that was holding their grenade sitting on the back of a motorbike of Hamas, and they were on their way to go kill some Jews. Really, you can try to separate as much as possible. I have two thoughts on this. First off, this is a democratically elected government in Gaza, and they still retain such popularity that they're more popular than the ruling authority in West Bank, and they secretly control it. That's number one. Number two, actually, there's 3 points. Number two, there were citizens, not just actual. Hamas doesn't have like members only jackets, right? They weren't walking around with badges. No, no, no. It's only us Hamas doing this. There were citizens out there that were doing this stuff too. That's number two. And then also with all of this, number three, here you have the terror attack, the democratically elected government, and then the ceasefire that was in place on October 6th already. Third point is what is another ceasefire that they're going to violate going to do? I mean, it's rhetorical. It's not going to do a damn thing. It's not going to do anything. So this whole, I mean, what, 1,400 people? They still have tons of hostages. They're not releasing anything except to make it look like a staged theatrical stuff. That's all. And they even had in Seoul, South Korea, they had protesters out, holding out, solidarity with civilians in Gaza, placards, blah, blah, blah. Why is no one asking Hamas if they're concerned with how many people they killed? They've killed more of their own people than Israel could have ever, inadvertently hit because Hamas wouldn't let them leave. Israel doesn't target citizens. Hamas does. By the way, where's this one? Let me pull this up. Because there was fighting today that broke out. They said the IDF was in a massive firefight several hours ago at the entrance to Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. At the hospital. I love how people go, Hamas doesn't use hospitals as military bases, and then literally proceeds to get into a massive firefight with IDF forces at the hospital that they use as a headquarters. I mean, who do they think is doing the shooting there? This is just asinine. But this is what they do. They wrap themselves. Did you hear? Let me pull this up. I have this in, I sent this out in your newsletter for you subscribers. I'm livid over this because this artist is a friend of mine. I actually met him before, Michael Ramirez. I've met him at a book signing event before. I have some of his books too. He's a brilliant. I think he's one of the best editorial cartoonists that's in the business. And he drew this cartoon via the Free Beacon that had this story. And again, this was the top story in our email prep that I sent out to all of you. He had this cartoon that he had published. It was in, because all this came out, this was in the Washington Post. He had this editorial cartoon, and it was a picture of Hamas, a guy with Hamas, and he had kids tied around him. And it's one of the leaders of Hamas that he has, and he's standing there and he's got a suit and it says Hamas, and he's got a woman tied on him and he's got these babies tied on him. And he says, how dare Israel attack civilians, as he has all these kids roped around him, his midsection, his legs, all that. And this was his cartoon that Michael Ramirez had published. It was a commentary on Gaza. And the Washington Post, the editor, Sally Busby, executive editor of the Washington Post, sent an email to staff members Wednesday night of this week, quoting, given the many deep concerns and conversations today in our newsroom, I wanted to ensure that everyone saw the notes sent out tonight by the Post's opinion editor, David Shipley, to Post readers and his staff. And they forwarded the email in which he said that he had personally taken down the cartoon. He said that he expressed regret and that he had missed something profound and divisive in publishing the image. He added, quote, a cartoon published by Michael Ramirez on the war in Gaza, a cartoon whose publication I approve, was seen by many readers as racist. What? Yeah, they were trying to say that it looks like the guy. He's got the children, a baby, and a woman strapped to his body, saying that how dare Israel attack civilians when he's roped himself with all these civilians as human shields.
Racist?
It's not racist.
It's accurate.
It's absolutely accurate. These people are morons. because Hamas has a history of using civilians as human shields. They are just mad because Michael Ramirez wrote a damn, he drew a damn good editorial cartoon is why. So they pulled it because people were mad. What about that cartoon is a lie? I mean, that's rhetorical because the answer is nothing. There's nothing in this cartoon that's a lie. They are censoring people. These people would have been working with the Nazis. Washington Post would have been working with the Nazis to take stuff down because that's what this is. If you're in support of Hamas, if you're protecting Hamas, you would have protected the Nazis back in the day. There's no difference. And if these Nazi lovers get upset with being called Nazi lovers, then these Nazi lovers can get upset because they're Nazi lovers and we don't give a hot damn what Nazi lovers think. That's all there is to it. They're like, oh, it's not racist. You know what's racist? Targeting Jewish people because they're Jewish. How about that? Let's just say that's racist then. If Michael Ramirez's cartoon is somehow racist, which is the stupidest, absolute, most moronic argument that you could make. There's no race reflected here. He's a terrorist. He's got people strapped to him. Then I'll just apply that same logic to targeting an entire nation of people. Oh, that's racist too. How about that? Absolutely obscene. Sally Busby, The Washington Post. This is insane. The fact that they had to apologize or that they felt that they needed to is obscene to me. We didn't mean to hurt Hitler's feelings. It's obscene.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We expect growth to moderate in coming quarters. Of course.
Jerome Powell, by refusing to treat climate change like the systemic risk
that you
are putting us at.
Thank you very much.
Disaster.
Yes, thank you very much.
Climate change will
threaten. Thank you. Just close the door.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not a fan, but that is actually kind of funny. Cyril. And he's like, just close the blanking door. Just close the door already. Just do it. That's Jerome Powell, who had to face climate protesters that are protesting about the climate. Still. Yeah. Yeah. Texas Congresswoman Monica De La Cruz, she got targeted by anti-Jewish vandals. Pro-Hamas, they spray-painted her offices with saying Monica murders, etc. In Texas, they went after her. Yeah, 15th Congressional District went after her. Had to spray the sidewalk, everything, vandalizing her office. I'm just like, what do you think? If you're so worried about freeing a fictional country, how does that help free a fictional country? I mean, do you think that kidnapping babies helps free a fictional country? Or the women destroying entire communities, does that help free a fictional country? I mean, it's maybe kind of rhetorical here, but, you know, it just seems counterintuitive to what they actually would like to do, what their aims are, what their goals are. It just seems a little counterintuitive, it's got to say. But the offensive continues, and they're rolling in. They're in a gunfight outside of firefight outside of the hospital. They're one of the hospitals that Hamas was using as a headquarters. That they were saying that they didn't, but they do. I wonder if the media is going to write about any of that. No, you know what? They can't because they're too busy being embedded with them, carrying their grenades. That's why. There hasn't been any like wild statement or public statement about that really from CNN using that guy's work. They just fired him, and then now they just kind of swept it under the rug. Today in stupidity, Kane, what do
all
we
right,
have?
It is our president of these United States.
Not surprising.
Did you know, if someone says supply chain, you understand what they mean when they say supply chain?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much always have.
Yeah, that's not
this,
a difficult
this is thing. Biden on supply chains. Listen.
We saw what happened in the pandemic when we couldn't get those chips, remember?
Yeah.
People didn't know what else supply chain meant. We all know what supply chain means now, don't we?
As opposed to who didn't know before.
Yeah.
I think everybody knew what supply chain meant. Who didn't know what it meant?
I mean, at the very least, that's a condescending.
He didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, exactly. At very least, it's condescending. And the very most, it's just a complete lie.
Yeah, he didn't know what it meant. That's really what it was. Folks, that does it for us for this week. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack Chapter and Verse. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. And we'll be back all with you behind the mic on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.